Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, today, my second guest is a keynote speaker, an author, a poet, a jazz singer, and the founder and principal of an executive coaching and consulting firm designed to help people and companies bring what Gloria Burgess calls their full voice to relationships, work, and community. She's also one of my favorite returning guests, and today we're going to talk about her work on Daring to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. In particular, we're talking about making your work serve your life. First, we're going to hear from Daniel Rechnitzer, and I should have asked how to pronounce his name while we were chatting before the show, who wants to share his journey with whole brain intelligence, something that he says has led him to become all-knowing. Sounds like a big claim? Well, yes, it does. So let's bring on my guest and find out a little more. His new book is called The All-Knowing Diary. Daniel, welcome.
Hello, Vicki. I'm still recovering. I thought that intro was for me, and I was like, oh, does she know I'm not a jazz singer? Where is this going to go now?
Well, let's get this out right. And how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Rechnitzer?
Yeah, you did it perfectly.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. So I want to learn, before we talk about what all-knowing means and how we can become all-knowing, which sounds like a huge claim there, tell us a little bit more about your background, Daniel. You grew up in Australia.
Yeah, I grew up in Australia, and I was brought up in a Jewish family, in a semi-religious family. Went to a Jewish school, and I was kind of force-fed religion. I was force-fed someone's belief systems, And my childhood was spent very much being kicked out of every single religious class. For some reason, me and religion, we were just not going to, we were not going to dance very well together. And so my upbringing was very hard. You know, I wasn't like anyone else. I didn't feel connected to anything they were saying or where they were coming from. And eventually, following the ways of the people at the school and what society was saying, I kept coming up empty-handed. But, along with all that, I kept having this kind of inner voice or this inner wisdom or intuition kind of trying to show me that there's something else, that there's another way. So, yeah, there was my background has been pulling in two directions, being dragged, kicking and screaming, to being able to see a larger picture about life. And that's where the all-knowing diary starts.
Mm. And that's what's great about being a grown-up. We can follow our own path then.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, though. Sometimes you think you're following your own path, but yet you're just following to the letter the scripts, the programming and the beliefs that were passed down to you. And that's a really profound point, is sometimes we don't even know that we're not even following our own inner direction.
Mm. So tell us a little bit about this book. It's called, well, let's talk about this first of all, because this sounds like a very preposterous claim to say that we are all-knowing. It kind of implies that we're either very arrogant or ignorant and think we have nothing else left to learn, or we're just, shooting bull in the breeze there. So tell us what you mean about all-knowing.
Let's rather go than the arrogant or the ignorant. Let's go somewhere in the middle,
right?
And because claim to be all knowing is not an arrogant space. It's not a know it all space, but rather it's an enlightened space. And what we get to when we start peeling back the layers of the self doubt, the self hate, and even what we think our reality consists of, we start to find that the consciousness that we think is contained within our body, within our head, is actually larger than that. That consciousness is actually connecting every living thing, everything in this universe, and our brain is actually hardwired to tap into the greater consciousness as opposed to just our own consciousness.
Right, and this is what you call universal intelligence, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, something many people are familiar with. Einstein said that everything is energy in its purest form. But really, if you look at it, everything is intelligent energy. everything is like thought energy, and the brain has been designed to pick up on thought. So it's more like a wireless antenna, and when we go into this whole brain space, we can draw on what we call universal intelligence, which is like the collective energy system of everything in the universe, which is just this enormous information library. Mm.
And so, just to put this in a different perspective, you know, sure. Many people think they're right-brained or they're left-brained. You're saying we can learn to become whole-brained, to use both sides of our brain, which, of course, would be behoove us, one would think.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, we've overlooked and we've been preoccupied with right-brain or left-brain. But, you know, Vicky, like many things, when two become one, that's when something magic happens. So when we go into a high state of self-belief, both hemispheres start working together. When they work together, they become more like an antenna or more like an internet, able to pick up on extracting information from around us. You know, you kind of walk into a room and you can feel whether somebody's has there been an argument.
Right.
You know, that experience.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take that and magnify that by 100 or 500, and then that's what becomes available. We can perceive information from around us, from other people, from other places, from other times, all through the brain.
Right.
Quite extraordinary.
Right. Now, some people will say they just are not intuitive, and I want to hold that thought. We're going to take a very
sure.
quick break, and we'll be right back. My guest is Daniel Rechnitzer. His new book is called The All-Knowing Diary.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you're tired of waiting for your dream home to manifest, join Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair to hear how one young woman has helped thousands of women save big money and create their dream homes. Join us Monday, October 15th on Conversations Live right here on Alternative Talk 1150 at noon Pacific. See Conversations Live for podcasts and guest information.
Conversations Live has a new Facebook page, and we'd love you to join us there. Click on Like to join our page, and you can share a link to your business or event, or share a few words about yourself and what's happening in your world. You can even recommend future guests or topics. We're easy to find. Just search for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair Facebook, log in, and leave a post. Look forward to meeting you there.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Daniel Rechnitzer. I was giving him a hard time before the break about being all-knowing, but now we know what he means by all-knowing. And I wanted to ask you this, Daniel. A lot of people don't, well, you know, they'll say things like, oh, I'm just not intuitive. And some people, it's true, I've walked into a room with them, as you mentioned, you know, that atmosphere when somebody's had an argument, and I can sense this horrible atmosphere, and the person I'm with is going, what atmosphere? What are you talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us how people tap into it if they don't think they're intuitive.
Yeah, sure. Well, the very first thing to know is that our reality or what we experience is being driven by our beliefs. So the brain does what we believe. If we think we're not intuitive and we think none of these things are real, we don't think the universe is larger than, you know, just what we can see with our bare eyes, well, then that becomes the experience. So self-doubt and skepticism actually create a kink in the hose pipe of life and kink the enormity of the experiences we can have. So that people need to know. How do we start tapping in that? Well, there are a couple of ways. The most important one for listeners right now is to start nurturing self-belief. Self-belief has the brain become congruent, the body become congruent. And what it means is it allows the brain to open up to let in more, a bigger possibility. So no more beating yourself up, no more rejecting yourself, no more hating yourself, no more nasty words. Just try as often as you can to start praising and loving yourself as as sincerely and as often as possible. That will really get people on the right track.
Right, and it's a much better place to live, too, than berating ourselves all the time.
Well, that's right. We know that it only just creates a horrible experience, so it's time to really create that self-belief.
Yeah. You talk in the book about the difference between intuition and ego. I wonder if you'd talk about that for us.
Yeah, sure. Look, it's an expansive topic, so I'll be as concise as I can. In essence, there are two levels of intelligence trying to make its way into our brain. One is the ego, which is the identity. It's all those nasty things that say, I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not attractive, I screw everything up. That's what we've learned in the lifetime. There's that part of ourselves. And there's the other part of ourselves, which is expansive. It's not limited. It can't put a label on it. It's just pure potential, pure consciousness. And so the intuition is coming from the pure consciousness. It's always trying to show us a better path in life than who we really are. The ego is always trying to hold us back and keep us small. So sometimes people mix them up because often we spend so much time in the ego, we don't really know what our intuition feels like.
Right, right. One of the things you talk about in the book about is fate a choice? We talked with positive psychologist a couple of weeks ago on choice and how choice affects us every single day. What do you have to say on fate versus choice?
It's a very interesting question. Look, we need to look at things. There's only a choice if we have the awareness of an alternate direction. And whilst we're stuck in our beliefs or our self-doubt, really there doesn't ever seem to be choice. We're just enacting our beliefs as if they're the truth. Now, when we start moving out of the ego, we move into this all-knowing brain, this whole brain, all of a sudden this new intelligence, this new guidance comes in. And that guidance has a very specific outcome in mind, which you can call fate, and it's trying to tell you what that is, to tell you the right decisions, the right thinking, the right beingness, so you can start making the decisions in this moment so you can experience that fate later on.
Mm. And talking of choices, you say that we make decisions every day that keep us small. What kind of decisions are we making that keep us small, Daniel?
Yeah, great question. Any decisions that really come from doubt. And for example, if big opportunities come your way and you go into a space of fear and you go, no, I'm not worthy of that, or no, that's not going to work out, they're big ones. If you have beautiful people in your life that are wanting to have a relationship with you and you're just going by the beliefs of what you learned from your parents, such as no, relationships don't work out or men can't be trusted, they're the things that keep us in a holding pattern. Wherever we're acting out somebody else's reality as if it's our truth, well, that's when things really start, you know, struggle starts being created and, yeah, we get stuck in very small living.
Right. You're meeting a lot of people right now. You're on tour with the All-Knowing. Is it called the All-Knowing Tour?
Yes, absolutely. The All-Knowing Diary, yeah. All-Knowing Diary Tour, All-Knowing Tour. I love it. I work with either one.
What kind of questions? What's like the number one question that people you meet ask you?
Why, if this was true, if I had an all-knowing brain, why are so few using it, and why haven't I been able to use it? Why is the world in such disarray?
And your answer is?
Well, it comes back to your question a minute ago, Vicky, about right. The ego and the intuition. It's because very few people know the existence of their intuition and where it's coming from. They've been listening to the input of the ego. And when we follow what the ego says, we actually create the opposite to what we want, because the ego is a parallel, kind of like a parallel universe, always showing up the opposite. And so, you know, we're living in a society that's only just starting to learn that there is two levels of consciousness, the ego and, if you like, the soul or the higher consciousness there. And, yeah, if we listen to the ego, we're gonna create struggle and disarray.
Right. You talk about many, many topics in the book. You share your perception or your perspective on all of these. One of them is on relationships. You talk about relationships, yes. About the truth of relationships. What is the truth of relationships to you?
Well, what I've been shown in this journey is that there's a fundamental commonality in relationships, or lack thereof. A lot of people come into relationships from a thinking mind or an intellectual, trying to fulfill some checklist. We're really a true workable relationship that brings fulfillment. What I've been shown is it's got to come from the soul. Now, what I mean by that is despite the physical appearance of each of us having a body and everyone having a body, what's going on within, there's a very different level of evolution, different learnings, different purpose on this earth. Now, when we connect with somebody who, or we get together with somebody who's on a very different purpose, who has a very different level of soul evolution, well, that relationship's not going to work. So we need to be asking or connecting into within the guidance that, well, who is of a comparable evolution to my soul and who's on the same purpose? And that's what's going to create a very soulful relationship.
So, and one of the questions you do raise in the book is, which should decide, head or heart? So is our head deciding that? Is our heart deciding that?
Now, that's definitely a hard one. The heart, look, ideally, you want your head and your heart talking, being congruent. But in, you know, to answer your question, we're wanting to really come from the space of what's our heart want, not what's logical, not what's reasonable, not what our mum wants, or, you know, not what we always wanted as a child. But where are we feeling most comfortable, most at ease, and most on purpose?
Okay. You talk a lot about children in the book too, and how we can teach our children to be more intuitive from a younger age, because, you know, it's definitely not something that's taught at school. I was raised with a very pragmatic, very down-to-earth, realistic family, but I was always taught to trust my gut, which is, you know, trusting your intuition. But it does seem that so many people are not raised that way. How do we raise children who are more aware of their own sense of self without all this me stuff going on?
Yeah, great question. Look, it's such an expansive question. We actually run a whole workshop on it.
Profound parenting.
But, you know, in a nutshell, I think the biggest thing for parents to take away is that, you know, reinforcing self-belief. If parents can avoid the labels really constrain people. If you're going to, you know, you're a naughty child, or you're good at this but not good at that, and you're just like your mother or you're just like your sister, anything that confines the child's mind into being one way over another really reduces their access to their intuition, to their all-knowing brain. Labels become a prison cell at some part or some time in their life. We really want them to see themselves as consciousness, without bounds, without belief system, as already enlightened beings.
Yeah, could you just imagine if we raised a whole generation of people like that? How different things would be?
it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth aiming for, that's for sure.
Now, I want to just talk about some of the benefits, as you put it, of whole brain intelligence, because you say this helps you in business, careers, finances, relationships we've already talked about, mental health, personal growth. How does somebody sustain this? Because, you know, many times people set out to make improvements in their life and find themselves self-sabotaging.
Yeah, that's a great question. That, yeah, a lot of the self-sabotage comes from the beliefs we have. So the way in which to sustain it is to, A, first follow the steps in the book on how to actually connect into that whole brain. Once you do that, then you've actually got almost like a dialogue or an inner guidance system that is always there to show you on path. Now, the book actually describes how to remove or dismantle that saboteur because, yeah, that saboteur is very strong and it will come out if given the opportunity. So, yeah, we do go through that. It's called the ego and there's some steps in how to remove that. But, look, it's by no means an easy journey, but it's you know, multiple fold easier than living without that guidance, you know.
Right, so. Right. You talked in the beginning of the show today about how you'd been thrown out of just about every religious class. So, you know, that takes us to the great debate between science and religion without getting too in-depth here. But do you believe, you know, science versus religion? Where do you stand on that?
To me, there's, you know, if I can substitute the word, I guess, consciousness or spirituality instead of religion, if I may, to me, there's no debate. And what I mean by that is it's not an argument, but rather a state of awareness. The more you grow in your awareness, the more of our reality you can perceive. So currently, it's kind of like a three-year-old who's just learned how to count to 10 arguing with a professor in maths about that there's no such thing as algebra. Until you scratch those layers of what it means to a human being, until you pierce that veil, then you're not in a position to argue it because you haven't seen the larger picture. So it's, to me, the ultimate is not a debate. it's a state of mind, the state of awareness that you grow and that you achieve.
Okay. Well, Daniel Rechnitzer, I appreciate you stopping on the road on your travels down to L.A. today to talk with us. The book is called The All-Knowing Diary. Why don't you just tell our listeners in your own words how you describe this book?
It's an exploration, a journey, a map to all-knowing to unlock the secrets about your life, your purpose, and our reality and the whole universe. So come along and enjoy it, allknowingdiary.com.
Great. And a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with, Daniel?
Yeah, start seeing yourself as more. Start seeing that there is more to you than just what you see in the mirror. And then life can actually give you a greater experience. The more you see yourself as, the bigger the experience of life becomes.
Awesome. We like that. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Do appreciate it, Daniel, and good luck on your tour. Have fun.
Thanks, Vicky. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And the book again, The All-Knowing Diary by Daniel Rechnitzer. And we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And I want to just take a minute here before we bring our next guest on to remind listeners about the KKNW survey and why it's important. I don't know if you're tired of hearing this yet, but it is important. It's important for KKNW so they know what kind of programs you want to listen to. And it's important to me as a host of Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair because I know what kind of guests you want to listen to. So if you have a minute and can jump on to 1150kknw.com, 1150kknw.com, and fill out the survey, and I'll tell you a little bit about the contest that's associated with that. If you enter, you have the option of opting in to win a contest for a trip for two to Victoria, BC. It's a round trip on Victoria Clipper between Seattle and Victoria. You get en route continental champagne breakfast, transfer to your hotel, and one night stay in a choice of hotels that are listed up there on the site. And again, it's just really important if you have a couple of minutes, please, just to tell me what you'd like to listen to on the show. If you have suggestions for future guests, be glad to hear those, or future topics, be glad to hear that too. Whatever feedback you have. And the website again is 1150kknw.com. And if you're on there, we have a new Facebook page on Conversations Live too. You just look up Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair Facebook and you will pop up. And if you have a business or a service or you have an event coming up, or hey, you just want to tell us about your dog Spot, I don't care. Just jump on the page and like it and you can leave a post and you know, you'll have an option to build a community there. All right, we're going to go take another quick break and we'll come back with our second guest, who's Dr. Gloria Burgess. She's been on two times before on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. I love her work because she's just so authentic and she has such a strong voice. She has such passion for what she's doing. And her whole goal really is to help people to dare to wear their soul on the outside. And today we're going to talk about making your work serve your life. I think that's pretty important since we spend so much time at work. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information. If you're tired of waiting for your dream home to manifest, join Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair to hear how one young woman has helped thousands of women save big money and create their dream homes. Join us Monday, October 15th on Conversations Live right here on Alternative Talk 1150 at noon Pacific. See Conversations Live for podcasts and guest information.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my second guest today is Dr. Gloria Burgess. She's a behavioral scientist, consultant, and executive coach, as well as an award-winning poet, author, director, and performing artist. Gloria is the author of the best-selling book, Legacy Living, and her recently released, well, not so recent now, but it's called Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, Live Your Legacy Now. Gloria Burgess, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Vicki. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. Now, how long has Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside been out? It's a good.
It's been a couple of years now, yeah. Several years actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's still going strong.
Very well. Yes, thank you.
A testament to the work you did there. So I wanted to focus today about making your work serve your life. And, you know, we all want to feel as though we're making a contribution in the world. We all want to feel that we're leaving some kind of legacy behind.
Yes.
When times get tough like this, it can sometimes feel a little bit harder to do that. So that's why I wanted to really focus on this topic today. You have what you call a pathway in your life that you've come to call legacy living. And this is what your book, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, is all about. Tell us what you mean by legacy living.
Well, legacy living, Vicki, means a lot of different things, but the core of it is really about falling in love with who you are as a human being, as a person, and living your life in alignment with your highest values and your highest goals, your highest dreams. And so legacy, you know, we think about that word, that notion, as something that's connected with the very, very last part of your life. But for me, when I think about legacy and living, they go together. So it really is about being on purpose, being intentional about every choice you make every single day. Because, you know, aren't we creating our legacy all the time?
Right.
And our legacy is really the sum total of what we care about and what we choose to do, who we decide to include in our circle of friends or to not include, and so on. And so legacy living is really, I'm going to say, an invitation to walk your talk
right.
And to live your life in alignment with what you care about, with your values.
Right. And I think it's very profound when people realize that, yes, every day they're living their legacy.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, so many people do get to the end of their life and wonder what their legacy is going to be.
Absolutely.
And it's a little late then. A little late then. So to help you live your legacy, you've come up with 7 sacred promises, and I think we should touch on those because they're integral to you know, having work that serves our life.
Yes. And the 7 sacred promises, I call them sacred promises because they're, you know, they're special principles, values, practices that guide our lives. And they are special because it's a promise to ourselves that we make to ourselves and a promise that we make to one another, Vicki. And for those of us who believe in a source higher, greater outside of ourselves, it's also a promise that you make to that force as well. And so the promises are gratitude, faith, vision, integrity, creative action, and legacy, and they all go together. So they are not, you know, just separate parts of our lives. They really go together. I think of the idea of a symphony orchestra. You know, you can't just have a violin section or a trumpet section.
Right.
All of those instruments go together to create the kind of music that we enjoy. And so, the point I want to make here about the promises is they are in our lives anyway. And most of us go through our lives, I'm going to say unconsciously, and when we become conscious of these practices and promises in our life, they actually bring greater joy, greater excitement, and I'm going to say more vitality to your life and more intention.
Now, how did you arrive at these particular sacred promises? And could somebody maybe have different ones? Would they maybe adjust these? Or is this what you're saying is, you know, the ultimate from your research and your working with people?
Well, so it's a combination of my own research into leadership and creativity. Both of those areas are the core of my work as a behavioral scientist. And it's also as a creative artist, so I'm a writer, I'm a poet, I sing, I do all of these other things. They're also the undergirding principles of creativity. And so when you combine the research and the I'm going to say the application from living daily life, I mean, I see these principles play out in so many different arenas. I'm really blessed to be able to speak in all kinds of circumstances in this country and internationally. And regardless of the culture that I'm in, regardless of who I'm speaking to, whether it's young people or, you know, people in their middle adult years or elders, they resonate with these principles. And so I know from just practical experience that these are important aspects of our lives. Now, that's not to say that they're the only ones, but these are the ones that for me and for the kind of work that I do are the most vibrant and resonant. You know, there are other principles like courage and a lot of other principles that you could, that we could talk about. But these 7 ones are the ones that I see consistently throughout the various populations that I work with.
Interesting, isn't it? We're all so different, yet we're also the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there are a couple of that I really want to look at here. Vision, integrity, and creative action. I wanted to go into these a little bit more in detail. Vision is so important, obviously, if we're trying to create a living legacy. We've got to have some idea of what it is we want to create. So talk to us a little bit more about that, if you would.
So vision is, it is about what we want to create. And what I like to tell people is that it's important to know what road you're on. You know, if we don't know what road we're walking on, we'll walk on anybody's road. And, you know, if you're not on your own menu, so to speak, you're on somebody else's, you're on somebody else's agenda or plan for your life. And so having a vision, having a notion of what you want to do, what you want to create is crucial. That doesn't mean that you have to have every single detail nailed down. In fact, if you do, it's probably not your vision, it's probably somebody else's vision. So having an idea of where you're going, putting it out there so that other people can hear what is live alive for you, so that they, you know, they can come around you and support you and be resources for you, and the details get filled in as you walk along the path, as you build the bridge, you kind of build it as you walk on it. So
right.
Don't be concerned if you don't have every little detail nailed down. That's not it.
Right. And you're big on bridge building. We
absolutely.
Are creating a bridge.
Yes.
It's not going to happen overnight.
That's right. That's right. It's a process.
And so integrity to you means obviously being true to yourself. But it says, this is who I am and this is who and what I value. Talk to us a little bit more about integrity, if you would.
So integrity, yes. Oftentimes we think about integrity as just meaning, being true to yourself or being honest with yourself. And it is both of those things. It's also about, I'm going to say, walking in your own shoes, walking your talk, and bringing all of your gifts, all of your talents, all of your skills, all of your flaws, your imperfections along with you. Because that's, being human, being imperfect is how you connect to other people and how they connect to you. I just have a little bitty story I want to share about integrity and vision and creative action, because all of these go together in this story. I remember it was probably maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I was going through my client list, as I often do, every 4 or 5 months. I just kind of review my list and see if I'm still aligned with, what they're doing and if there's alignment between my values and theirs and so on. And I remember this one client in particular. I won't name the name because it's a very, well-known organization. But I remember thinking about this, and I said, our values are beginning to drift apart. And I remember calling the CEO and saying to her, we need to have coffee. We need to have a conversation. You guys are, going this way, and my values are, steady in the middle here. I just want to talk with you to see if there's something that we can do to come back together again. And we met for coffee, had a wonderful conversation. Fast forward, what I said to her, this woman, I said, it seems as if we probably shouldn't work together in the future because we're so far apart. And so that was truth-telling. That was the honesty part of integrity and being, clear about who I was. And, I wasn't trying to make them bad or anything
right,
like that. I was
right.
just really being clear that in terms of my vision and where I was going, that we were no longer in sync with one another.
It takes courage, too.
Took courage, too, a lot of bravery. And I said, so I told these things to her, and she said, Gloria, she said, look, this is where we are right now as an organization, but let me tell you what I have up my sleeve. And she talked to me about her 10, 15 year vision and where she really wanted to take this organization. And it was not where they were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's what I want to be a part of. And so that courageous conversation that I had with her, I mean, it was not only about, realignment, but it was also about, like I said, that truth-telling and bringing all of who we were, both of us, to that conversation, it turned into an incredible client engagement. They ended up actually offering me work to come inside the organization because it was such long-term strategic work. And not only was it a lucrative decision, Vicki, in terms of the monetary reward, but it was, I'm going to say, it was a soul building. So it added value to me as a human being. And so I'm going to say hundreds, if not thousands, of other people because of that one courageous conversation that brought, my vision, her vision, our integrity, both, and our courageous action to move forward together.
Mm, awesome. And, of course, creative action is taking those steps that we need to take
yes,
to manifest our vision.
Absolutely. And, not every one of us, the research says about 80-85% of us are in work that does not feed our spirit, that does not feed our soul, that doesn't necessarily mean you're in the wrong place. You know, sometimes we have to work in situations and circumstances where we're not able to bring all of who we are inside the building, and you're still able, if you choose to make your work serve your life. So get clear about, you know, who you are and what you care about, and maybe you can't do all of those things at work, but outside of work, you know, after 5 o'clock or after 7 o'clock or whatever, you know, whatever time you call it quits, find a way to bring your passion, your aliveness into your family, into your community. It doesn't always have to be at work. Not everybody gets to be that lucky.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk some more on that when we come back, because that is a huge piece of the puzzle here about making our life, our work service. My guest in this segment is Dr. Gloria Burgess, and her book is called Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. Live Your Legacy Now. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we'll be right back.
Women worldwide see beauty in their mothers, sisters, daughters, and friends. However, only 4% of those women see the same beauty in themselves. Hi, I'm Lisa Ling, and I've traveled the world for years and have witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of low self-esteem among women. We should all pledge to inspire the next generation to see their beauty as a source of confidence, not anxiety.
This message was brought to you by the Alliance for Women in Media and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Movement for Self-Esteem. To learn more, visit DoveMovement.com.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Conversations Live has a new Facebook page, and we'd love you to join us there. Click on Like to join our page, and you can share a link to your business or event, or share a few words about yourself and what's happening in your world. You can even recommend future guests or topics. We're easy to find. Just search for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair Facebook, log in, and leave a post. Look forward to meeting you there.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest in this segment, as I said at the top of the hour, is one of my all-time favorite guests, Dr. Gloria Burgess. She's a behavioral scientist, consultant, executive coach, award-winning poet, author, director, and performing artist. And Gloria, you know what? I've never asked you about your jazz singing. So before we get back to business, what kind of stuff do you sing and where and how?
So I just want to be clear. I do sing. It's not jazz, though. The name of my company is Jazz.
Okay. Somehow I must have put those two together and thought you came up with jazz.
No problem. I sing gospel. I sing spirituals, and I sing a whole lot of other things, but not jazz, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, that's all good. But, it's all creative outlet, and it's important, whether it's cooking or gardening or singing or writing poetry.
Absolutely.
Of this creative outlet is good for us.
Yes.
I read a quote once by Julia Cameron of The Artist's Way, and she said, sometimes we get blocked and stuck and just can't move forward because we're not putting anything down on paper or out into the world. We're keeping it all inside of us. So I think it's important to put it out there.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk about, we're chatting during the break, and so many people are in jobs that they don't like, and we kind of touched on this before the break. And because of the economy, they've taken work that maybe they think is beneath them and their skill levels, just so that they're working, and they may see this as temporary. But how do we keep moving forward and keep building our legacy when we're in that kind of situation without becoming resentful, without holding us back?
You know, that's a great question, Vicki. And, you know, these past 3 years, I think, have been incredibly difficult for us here in the United States in particular. And I think a lot of it has been difficult because many of us have not been through financial hard times. You know, it's been kind of relatively easy. And when I think about how much we take for granted, I'm going to say, you know, get over it. Think about what we're going through as the new normal, and whether or not you have the kind of job that you want or the kind of finances you want, I'm going to say continue to invest in yourself. It is the best investment you can make. During this past 3 years, for example, I have had to, I'm going to say, just, you know, rethink and become very creative about the income streams that I have in my life. My consulting work has gone down. My speaking has gone up. Some of my fees have become zeros.
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's been very, very hard. But over this past three or four year period, what I've focused on is not the material possessions, but what I have inside of me. You know, speakers speak. Whether you get paid or not, that's what you do. And so you just keep doing what you're doing, and you keep pouring, you keep making deposits, not only in yourself, but in others.
Yeah.
When you take your focus off of yourself, you know, and you find a way to contribute to somebody else's life, you get I'm going to say, the kind of joy that and happiness that is irreplaceable. So don't just focus on, you know, this isn't quite the right job that I'm working in right now. Focus on yourself and keep, you know, making deposits in yourself.
Yeah, and it's such a key point you make there, you know, investing in ourselves, because it is so important that we stay relevant to what's happening today.
Absolutely.
You know, I hear from writers and journalists and creative folks all the time, you know, I don't like the way it's going. And it is a case of, well, sorry, you've got to get used to it, because this is, as you said, the new normal. You know, but I think the problem is that so many people, and I've been guilty of this myself in the past, over-identify with our work and what we do.
Yeah.
You know, when I worked in the bank, I mean, many years ago, not so much now, but many years ago, you know, bankers had a certain amount of prestige. And you get used to that, and you get used to identifying with that.
You do, and I agree with you, Vicki. If we overly identify with our work, I think we set ourselves up for heartache and heartbreak. I would suggest again that people, you know, that your listeners, and I'm including myself in this, that you focus on who you are, not what you do, because who you are at the end of the day is way more important than the kind of work that you do. And when you engage in conversations, when you have these casual conversations or intentional conversations with people, and you've made that, you know, you've made that identity shift, it shifts the conversation. Your conversations, you know, become about, you know, I'm going to say what's important rather than you know, what I can do for you or what you can do for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the key concepts in your book, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, is signature presence.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that and why it's important.
So signature presence, you know, think about your fingerprint. Every person has unique fingerprints. Every person has a unique voice print, if you will. And every one of us shows up differently on the planet. So signature presence is about your uniqueness. Regardless of who you are unique in all the world. There are 7 billion people on the planet, and each one of us has something very special about who we are and what we can offer. So signature presence is our unique value, our unique identity, our unique way of being in the world, our unique way of expressing who we are, our love for one another, the work that we do, and so on. you can have, I often work with people in the helping profession, so teachers, social workers, doctors, that kind of thing. And you can have, 500 doctors in the same room, right, all doing the same kind of work, 500 individuals with the same specialty even. But we each have a unique family situation. We have been taught different things, and so we bring a special kind of energy, if you will, to the work that we do. And so that's what I mean by signature presence, our uniqueness.
Yeah. And, I've been to several Tom Peters seminars, and one of the things he talks consistently about is, if you're sweeping floors, be the Michelangelo of sweeping floors.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I was speaking with a group of students just the other day for the History Makers Back to School campaign. And each one of these students had, they were all high school students, right? And they all had their own unique vision for their lives. And actually, I can't remember which teacher it was, but they brought up the idea of, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a lot of those students said, I want to be just like the janitor at the school, because that person greets me. They look me in the eye. They treat me as special and unique. They listen to what I have to say. And I thought, what a difference.
Really?
What a difference.
Right. And you talk in your seven sacred promises about gratitude. If we're thanking a waiter, don't just thank them, but look them in the eye and thank them, because there's a lot of jobs out there where people are kind of invisible to so many people.
Yes, and so many things are automated these days. When we can look people in the eye, it not only says, I acknowledge you, but it says, I'm paying attention to you. I care about you. I see you as a human being. I remember getting a call just a few weeks ago from a client, and I was, working from my home office. I picked up the phone. I had a conversation, and this woman just thanked me like over and over again. And I said, why are you thanking me so much? And she said, because usually when I call somebody, not only do I get an automated greeting, but then I have to press, this button and that
right.
button. And it's like five or six layers before I actually get to a human being.
Right.
And so it makes a difference to have that human touch, that human contact.
It does. And it is a problem with so many people. I just switched service providers, and I'm willing to pay a little bit more to get through to a human being.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about faith. My first guest talked about the importance of believing in yourself, and you say your faith allows you to say, I trust myself. I can do it.
Well, faith is one of those sacred promises that sometimes I think people misunderstand, because they think about religion and that connection to faith. And for some people, that is the connection. But faith is also about being able to trust and going into a situation where you don't know, you don't know all of the what's going to happen in that circumstance. So it's really, Dr. King talked about faith as taking that first step, even though when you can't see the whole staircase. And so it's taking that baby step or that leap of faith, even though you don't know what the exact outcome will be. It's saying, I believe in myself enough that I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to, trust that if I take that first step, then I'll be able to take that second step and third step and fourth step. You talked earlier, Vicki, about, people, I think it was Julia Cameron that you mentioned, about not people, getting stuck and being stuck because they keep their dreams, their hopes within them. They kind of keep the things to themselves.
Right.
Let me tell you something. When you put your dream, your vision out there, the universe conspires to support you. Somebody will rally around you, and oftentimes it's not just one person, it's two people or three people or a whole group, to offer you resources, ideas, conversation that you would never otherwise have, because nobody would know what you're thinking.
Awesome. I love it. A final quick thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today.
I thank you for that. Actually, I'd like to tell you about just a little thing that I'm working on. I mentioned about, you know, making your work serve your life, and even if you're stuck, to make investments in yourself. And one of the things that I'm working on right now is what I call accelerated mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just putting it out there as an offering. If you'd like to know more about how to grow yourself and how to invest yourself, and this, you know, is something that appeals to you, but you don't know quite how to take that first step, please give me a call. Go to my website, find my phone number. It's www.gloriaburgess.com, and I will talk to you about how you can do that and how you can grow yourself in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 15 weeks or 40 weeks.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Thank you so much, Dr. Gloria Burgess, for being with us today.
I love
your work.
Thank you.
And Gloria's book is Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, and her website is GloriaBurgess.com. And I'm getting booted out of here. Eric's giving me the wave. So we'll be back with you next week. And I want to just remind you real quick, I know you're fed up of hearing this about the survey, but it is really important. If you could please just take a moment to tell us what you like on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair on the 2012 KKNW survey cheat sheet. You can go to 1150kknw.com and find the survey, and all of the contest info is up there. All right, we'll be back here next week. If you've got feedback on today's show, you can find me at info@conversationslive.net or 800-495-7617. See you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.